Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Who owns you? Or to whom do you belong? It's an odd question in a free society, but Proverbs tells us that the borrower is slave to the lender. So do we choose to be indebted to our flesh, which offers us only death, or to God, who offers us life? It is a question we must ponder and a question that demands an answer. So grab your Bible, turn it to Romans chapter 13, and join us as we ask, who owns you? And please take out your Bibles, either the ones in the pews or the ones that you brought with you, and turn in them with me to the book of Romans chapter 13. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 166 of the New Testament. Romans chapter 13. We are coming to the end of our sermon series in Romans. We have one more week. Next week will be the final week. And we've been looking at theology for ministry. Theology for ministry. And theology, as we have looked at over the past summer, is not this big scary word. It just simply means the study of God, the study of God. And we study God, to know Him more completely. But by knowing God, we may know ourselves even more. We are made in God's image. And as image bearers of God, what does that mean for us when we study God and see how He is? Then we understand ourselves a little bit better. With that in mind, let us now look at the words of Paul the Apostle to the Roman church, beginning at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, have you ever borrowed any money from someone? I'm asking a room of Americans, have you ever borrowed any money from anyone? I hear a no over there, and that's very good. It's very difficult to find anyone in a room of Americans who hasn't borrowed money at least once in their lives. But there is a proverb, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. What does that mean? Well, it means simply this. I have borrowed money from time to time. I've borrowed money from institutions for a student loan. I've borrowed money from a bank for my house. But I've also borrowed money from friends and from relatives because I needed it for something, and maybe I was on we were in hard times, and I borrowed the money with the intention of giving it back. There's a problem there. When you borrow money from somebody, there's a tension in the relationship between you and that other person. Now, if it's a bank, who cares, right? But if it's a family member, a mother or father, or a brother or a sister or a cousin, someone that you're borrowing money from, there becomes this tension in a relationship because it's off balance now. You owe that person. You owe that person. And as the Proverbs say, the borrower is slave to the lender. So the question today, the title of the message today is, who owns you? Who owns you? And it means simply this. Who do you owe? Who do you owe? Because the borrower is slave to the lender. Paul begins his words by saying, owe no man anything but to love one another. We shouldn't be in debt to anyone of anything except love. And he says, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The whole law. If we love one another, we fulfill the law. He's expounding on what we talked about last week, and we talked about this agape love. Agape, the Greek word, which means a divine love. An unconditional love, a self-sacrificial love, a giving love, a love that gives and asks nothing in return. I have been on occasion asked to loan someone money. I don't loan anybody money for that very reason. I don't like that tension. I've had that tension in my life. And I don't like that tension in my relationship with someone else. If I have the money, I will give it. I'll give it. I've been asked for money before. Hey, you know, I'm kind of tight till the end of the month, you know. We all have that problem. Too much month at the end of the money, right? So somebody says, I need 20 bucks. I need to put some gas in my car. Can I borrow 20 bucks? And I say, no. But I will give you $20. I will give it to you as a gift. And we'll never talk about it again. You don't owe me anything. Why? I don't want anybody to be in debt to me. I don't want anybody to be in debt to me. So owe no man anything but to love one another. That's the only thing we should owe each other. He says, he lists these commandments, these five commandments. You can say they're the five commandments that are on the second tablet of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And he says, they are all wrapped up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, all those others fall into place. Now there are Ten Commandments. The first four talk about how we are to relate to God. And the last six talk about how we are to relate to each other. To each other. Love your neighbor as yourself fulfills all those six commandments. And not only those six commandments, but after the Ten Commandments, there is a long list of laws that takes those Ten Commandments and breaks them down into little minute laws, very specific laws. Almost, you look at it like micromanaging. And in fact, the rabbis of Jesus' time had identified 613 individual laws. Why 613? There was one law for every single character, every single letter in Hebrew in the original Ten Commandments. There were 613 Hebrew letters in the original Ten Commandments, so there were 613 laws. They make it into a mnemonic device to help remember all these laws. And when a scribe came to Jesus and said to him, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, it's not any of those 613 laws. It's none of those. It's this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. In other words, if all we ever do as Christians is to love God with complete abandon, every fiber of our being to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, everything else will fall into place. Look at the cross. The cross has a vertical beam, and the cross has a horizontal beam. And the vertical beam reminds us that that is the love between us and God. The love that God has for us, the love that we have for God. And the horizontal beam is how we express our love to the world, to the whole world. The vertical being reaching up to God, the horizontal being reaching out to the world. He says, love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. It's that agape love, that giving, self-sacrificial, asking nothing in return. That kind of love, that perfect, divine love. And it's a love that we can only express when we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's a love that's impossible to come from human beings. You look around the world and you see how successful human beings are at loving one another, don't we? We don't see it very much in the news. Nobody's loving each other so much. But when we have God living in us, then it is possible to have that agape love. That agape love. Now he goes on and he says, knowing the time that now it is nigh time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Our salvation is always closer to us the longer that we are believers. But it is time to wake up. Wake up, he says. It's been night, and now it is day. It is time to wake up. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I don't know about any of you, but I sleep in pajamas. I wear pajamas, pajama pants and a t-shirt. That's what I usually wear to bed. That's my night attire. But in the morning, I take off the night attire and set it aside, and I put on what I'm going to wear for the day. That's what Paul is trying to show with this image. Put off the clothing of night when it was dark. Put on the armor of light. What does it mean, the armor of light? Armor is something defensive, something to protect us. Because when we go out into the world is going to tell us that things are okay that are not okay. The world will tell us that things are allowed that are not allowed. We don't live by the world's standard. We live by God's standard. But the world tells us, no, it's okay. You can do this and you can do that. And that's fine. But we take off the clothing of night because we are awake. And we put on the clothing of the day, the armor of light. But what does it mean, that armor? Paul expounds on this concept of armor in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You find it beginning at verse 18. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do? Protects your head. Our salvation protects our head. It protects our mind, our thoughts. Our salvation protects us from the thoughts of the world. He says, put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. What does a belt do? Well, this is a belt that holds the armor together. It holds everything together. The truth of God holds all these things together. Holds all these things together. And there is a truth. There is an absolute truth. It is God's truth. The world will tell you that there is no absolute truth, that all truth is relative. That's the postmodern way of thinking. You know, what's true for me may not be true for you, and what's true for you is not true for me. Well, that's not true. If you proclaim that, then you just proclaim the truth. Right? Is that absolute? Yeah. People fall into that trap every day. The truth is, there is one truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. The truth. There is an absolute truth. And with the belt of truth, it holds all those elements of armor together. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what does the breastplate do? Protects your heart. Protects your heart. Our righteousness, our holiness, what sets us apart from the rest of the world, by living by God's ways, we are protected. Our hearts are protected from the world. We no longer give our hearts to the world. We only have our heart to give to God. He says, put on your feet the shoes that will help you carry the gospel to all the world. The good news. The good news. In Paul's time, people walked barefoot or they wore sandals. But soldiers wore very specific shoes that would protect their feet, to keep their enemy, when they're in close combat, from stepping on their foot and inflicting pain and distracting them so that they could attack them. But the shoes of the gospel, the good news that God gave His Son for all of us, is very good news. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is very good news. That we are offered eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that good news protects our feet as we go out into the world to proclaim that good news to the world. Where do we find good news? We don't find it on the TV. We don't find it on Channel 6 or Channel 10 or Fox or CNN or any of those news outlets. They're always showing us bad news. This world is so afraid of death, we can offer them life. That is the good news. Finally, he says, put on the shield of faith, the shield of faith to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. In this time, in Paul's time, it was a common tactic to dip the arrows into pitch and light them on fire. Well, not with a lighter, you know. Light them on fire and then fire them at the enemy, and so they would have flaming arrows coming at them. Can you imagine what this looked like? To have this rain of fire coming down upon you? So what they did is they would carry wooden shields into battle, and they would soak those shields in water. And they would hold them up, and the flaming arrows would hit the water and be put out. And that's the image that Paul was trying to convey. The shield of faith to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. In other words, Satan is always pelting us with this stuff that's trying to chip away and chip away and chip away, as long as we have that shield of faith held up. As long as we hold that faith will protect us from Satan's little pecking. And that's exactly what it is. It's pecking. You know? Well, this is fine. They're all defensive things that Paul told us to put on, but when do we go on the offensive? We always think that way. How can I attack back instead of just being curled up in a ball? Paul says, take up the sword. The sword, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. It's our only offensive weapon. When Jesus met Satan in the wilderness after having been fasting for 40 days, Satan tempted him many times. And how did Jesus combat that temptation? With Scripture. Satan said to him, "You got to be hungry, right? It's been 40 days since you've eaten. So if you're the Son of God, why don't you take these stones and make them into bread?" And Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It comes from Deuteronomy. He says, "It is written." Satan tried to use that same tactic to him. Took him to a high point and said, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, because it is written that the Lord will not allow you to fall. He will send His angels to hold you up, and you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said, Jesus, the author of the Word, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus said, "It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God." He used Scripture to combat Satan. That was his offensive weapon. Paul is telling us here, put on the armor of light. Protect yourself against what the world says. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day. When we're in the day, when we're in the light of day, when we're sitting in the pews and when we're sitting in church, we all have this thing. We like to present ourselves as having it all together and everything's great. And he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not, implying at night, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Those are all ways that people of the world act. Jealousy, discord, lust and wantonness, all that stuff. Licentiousness, if you will. Everything is allowed. We're okay. We can do all this stuff. But God calls us to a higher way of living. God calls us to be holy. God calls us to be separate from the world. And so He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't give in to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. You don't owe the flesh anything. God gives you this flesh to live in as a tabernacle while you are here, but it is only temporary. The flesh will wither. The flesh will grow old. The flesh will fail. The flesh will die. Your spirit is eternal. So do we live for the flesh or do we live for the spirit? That's the question that we have. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take off the clothing of night, put it aside, and put on Christ. When we put on Christ, we take on His characteristics. We take on His holiness, His righteousness. And we are protected from the world, from what the world tells us is okay. Today is Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday, a time when we share in a simple meal of bread and grape juice. And we offer to our God fellowship, love. And He offers to us love and salvation. Who owns you is the question today. Is it the flesh or is it God? Who owns you? The borrower is slave to the lender. We don't owe the flesh anything. If anything, the flesh owes us. Because we feed it. We keep it up. We go out and we exercise and run and do whatever we do to make sure it stays healthy. Flesh owes us. We don't owe the flesh. So who owns us? Who owns you? That's the question for today. Let us, as Christians, remember that this table is open to all. It's not our table. It's Christ's table. It is open to everyone who comes. Christ offers His salvation not just to us, but to the whole world. It says God so loved the world, not God so loved the people who were going to church. God so loved the Jews. He says, God so loved the world. All of us. And we are all here because of that love. Let us pray. Lord God, You have loved us with an eternal love. And You have shown us that salvation, You've offered us this agape love, and You call us to carry that love into the world. On this Communion Sunday, Lord, we ask that You will pour out Your Holy Spirit on all of us so that we may have that perfect, unconditional, giving, self-sacrificing love and carry it into the world and offer to the world a better way and good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.